Sunday night women's shiur chayos halvavos shar habechina or liyud gimel shvat, and we're sort of towards the end of Perek Gimel in shar habechina. And I really, you know, I want to thank everybody. The idea that we learned about last week is so important. And again, I'm a man, and I went to yeshivas. And this is such an issue, and it's like a conflict and an issue, and no one really knows, you know. Yes, to be educated with secular education, what we call secular education. See, that's the point of the Chavis Halal. There's no such thing as secular education. He wants you to, we're going to learn in Perek Dalet, he wants you to study physics and chemistry and zoology and astronomy, and he wants you to learn. You have to learn everything for Shar HaBechina. So what he does here in the other Perek Gimel, he says, you're doing it for a specific purpose. You're doing it, and all these things that we're going to do Bechina about or with, he says, the Hachocham, we're not learning inside. We're going to start from the story. But he says, the Chocham HaMeivin will, I've learned this a few times, and I never really understood his point. His point is a very important point, that it's you're facing a danger. And that's why he says, Hachocham HaMeivin, the Chocham will do it in a discerning way and extract Ruchnius from it. Extract Ruchnius from anything in the world, any discipline he's involved in. He's not talking about learning a discipline in order to get a job. That's a separate thing. That's not Shar HaBechina. That you could, whatever discipline you decide, whatever you decide to do, from picking up the garbage in the street to being a nuclear rocket scientist. That's nothing to do with Shar HaBechina. That has to do with earning a parnasa. That's for Shar HaBitachon. You want to become rich. You become a doctor. And then they pass Obamacare. And then you, all of a sudden, like what happened to your dreams of becoming rich, being a doctor. So you have to come to Israel and go private. But here he's talking about, in order to be an educated person. And I remember these debates that took place in school, that you want to be educated, you want to be a man of letters, you want to Torah Mada. Torah Mada. So he says, make sure, it takes a very discerning person, it should be done, and he holds you're obligated to do it. He doesn't backtrack from the obligation. The whole Shar HaBechina is the obligation to do that. But he's saying now such an important principle. He's saying it's a Ruchnius Tikka Avoda. You're working in Ruchnius. It's like, and so the Chacham will make sure, because there's such a danger involved, because you're involving yourself in the Gashmius world. You're not learning Torah. I see what he's saying. You're not learning Torah. Torah is Torah. You're not learning Torah. You're learning biology. You're learning science. You're learning math. You're learning astronomy. You're learning zoology. Right? So he's saying you have to extract the Ruchnius from it. The Ruchnius being to see in it. But this is not a Midas Chasidus. This is not, see, that's unfortunate, you know, for better or for worse, nowadays they see it as something for a Baal Madrega. I don't want to discuss policy issues now for Klal Yisrael. That's tomorrow. That was a joke. But look, it's an obligation. The obligation is to see Hashem and to see three things. This is what we're learning in Shar HaBechina. His Gevura, his Chochmah, and his Chesed. That really can sum up what we want to extract from Shar HaBechina. We want to see, this is amazing, look what Hashem does, unbelievable. That's Gvura. We want to see Hashem's Chochma. It's so amazingly complex and such. And I'm saying nowadays I'm assuming it's easier than 1,000 years ago. Even though he did quite fine with 1,000 years ago, but nowadays it's yeah. And his Chesed, it's all made so that this world, this little dot, if you ever see a picture of outer space, should be inhabitable, should have oxygen and water and a rain cycle and vegetation, and should be able to sustain life. That's amazing. And that's a chesed. And every study they show, they just came out with another thing last week, I didn't write it down. That if the, like the bond between the hydrogen and this would be, there would not be able to be any water. You wouldn't have any water molecules, because it would naturally not bond. They wouldn't. And that's the anthropic principle. Everything is made to sustain life. So you see Hashem's gevura, what he does, and his chokhmah, gevura, chokhmah, and chesed. But that's it. That's what you're learning it for, to see Hashem. To see Hashem. And that's why he now becomes a Musa Sefer. Because you're involved, you're not involved in Torah. You're involved in what we would call Limudei Chol. You know, so he's, that's why he launches into a Musa Sefer. And he says, don't get involved in this world. You learn about food and the flavors and spices and this. Don't become an Epicurean. Don't become a food faddist that has to go to a different restaurant every night in order to experience food, and then learn it, see Hashem, but don't get involved in the Gishmei Olam Hazeh. Understand that you take from the world as little as you can, he says, in order to exist, in order to live, in order to have a normal life. He's not telling you to be an ascetic. Chavis HaLovitz never says to be an ascetic. Not Hasidic, ascetic. And leave away the most for your olam, because all it does is it pulls you away from Hashem, which is a fascinating concept, because look how the intellectual pursuit, it's almost like the opposite of Torah. The Torah, if you leave it at the intellectual pursuit of Torah and you don't carry it out, the Gemara says it becomes a sam hamavis, it becomes poison. And these disciplines, it's mamish the other way around, he says. Only pursue them intellectually, but don't get involved with them, because if you get involved with them, it will take you away from Hashem, because then it's pulling you away from ruchnius into gashmius. And you forget about how, and then he becomes a Musa Sefer. And I'm like, what is it doing here? Like, oh, because he wants you to involve yourself in that world. But then you get caught up in it. It's a danger. You have to be careful. And you forget about what the goal is, and you forget about, you start thinking that this world, you know, it could go either way. Like, you see how complex and how much pleasure there is in the world, and how the world is made to give people pleasure, and how everything works, and it's made to make the world inhabitable, and et cetera, et cetera. So you could, he says, and all of a sudden, it's dangerous. That's why he says this, because all of a sudden you could, you know, this you see, and you feel, and you hear, and you experience. And Olam Haba and Ruchnius is not that, you know, it's not that discernible, and it's not that Gishmak, maybe, and we don't see Hashem, and we don't feel Hashem, and we don't taste Hashem, and we don't smell Hashem. And, you know, see, and before you know it, you're getting caught up in a whole different world. So, study it, know it, but make sure you extract only the ruchnius from it, and realize that we're here for a very short time, and don't live as if this world is what it's all about, and which people do, and you think you're doing something with Toelas Nafsho, and really you're you're wasting your time, and you're not doing anything with any of any lasting value. So that's why he, like he's talking about Sharon Bechina, what it becomes a Musa Sefer all of a sudden for 20 lines, but that's exactly why. And this is the answer to this, you know, what I know is like a burning issue. I don't know if it's a burning issue anymore. I'm like an old man already. I don't care anymore. But in yeshivas, it's like a burning issue. Between yeshivas, you have the YU fellows, right? You have people that went on, and there was always this. Everybody had mixed feelings, and really nobody knew what they were doing. That's why they argued so much. It wasn't clear. I had like when I went to school, when I went to, even I was in eighth grade, or when I went to IJJ, I had the Reb Aaron's two kids were in my class, Reb Aaron Soloveitchik, two kids, Yossi and Aaron. They were both in my class, and the older brother, Moishi, and he's the younger brother, Chaim here, is the youngest brother. I never knew him. He was like the young. I was friends with Yael Seif, who lives in the old city, and Elio, who was a Rav in Flatbush. And then there's an older brother, Moishi. And like Soloveitchik family, you know, like Rav Yoshe Ber, the uncle, right? He was the uncle. And they like almost represented being knowledgeable and knowing Torah things. And what?
Torah
Mada, yeah. And then they came to symbolize YU, and especially the uncle, more than the uncle. But now, you know, this is the way it should be. Although this describes it, really resolves all the issues. Again, we're not talking about if you need it for Parnassah. Then it becomes a whole different issue, and it's not Nogea. There's nothing that we're not learning. The Chavis HaLovitz doesn't address that. He's talking about Mamish Lashem learning it, Lashem knowing it, Lashem being educated and knowledgeable and knowing the world and knowing, and there's so much to know, right? You can know about food, you can know about flowers, and you'll be a horticulturist, and you could. Everything is so full of. And then you say, wow, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say everything's so full of chachma and everything's so full of chesed. And you start, then you become like full of gratitude to Hashem, and you're convinced. He says this is the way to be convinced that Hashem is real. It's not possible that there's not a creator. Everything has design and plan and purpose and different things. The rain cycle is not going to work if any part's missing. Pollinating plants is not going to work if it has to work together. It's not going to work if one half works, the other half doesn't work. It's not going to work. So this is very important. Now we're going to learn the Moshel. He's continuing his Musar, and we're going to learn a nice story, story time. So everybody has the paragraph that starts, Umanidbu Bezeh L'Shnei Achim. Yeah. Umanidbu Bezeh L'Shnei Achim. This is taking from the world what you need only. Not only what you need, again, you know, not going overboard with mosrus. Look at his moshel, and then you can decide yourself how much or how little to do. Umanidbu b'zeh l'shnei achim, two brothers, yorshu me'avihem adoma, they inherited a piece of land, shetzrichem la'avda, you have to work on it to make it produce any fruit. The chilku also l'shnayim, so they split it, right? No fights, no bezdin, they just split it. The lahayu lahem dover zulasa, and this was their, this is what they had. This was their rechush, this was their estate. Each one had now a piece of land, his own plot of land. Vayu ha'echad mehen da'aton v'zoriz, one of them had seichel, and he was not lazy. Hasheni Hafchal, and the other one, as in all stories, was the opposite. A lazy and a tipesh. Hadatan Roa, he saw, ki isko ba'admosu b'levad, if he just works his land, he's not going to have parnosa from it. It's too small a piece, it's not a good quality, he's not going to have parnosa from his land. Yimna also me'asok b'parnasoso, it's going to not give him the ability to have a parnaso, u'me'agia el tirfo, and to earn enough to live on. So he hired himself out to work for someone else. And he took a salary and he took whatever he needed to live. He hired out. He went to work for someone else. His stocker lavold ba'admas acherim. Kadeshi, because you have to live. You have to live. So he hired himself out to work someone else's field. Kadeshi yichye mischaram olo yom yom. But every night he'd come home. Like, you know, he told the kids the story. Every night he'd come home, Peter Rabbit. He'd come home every night and he would work on his field for a half hour. He would fertilize it, he would work it. He didn't let it just get overgrown with weeds and garbage and just, he'd work it. He'd work for a shah, for whatever it is, a certain amount of time. And, you know, his own land. He put all his kochos into it, and he cared, and he got only the best fertilizer, and, you know, he worked the land as best as he could. Sometimes he worked better, he got a bonus, he had a couple days off, it was vacation time, maybe, or he had enough money for a week or for a month, he didn't have to work. So he, what did he do with his spare time? He has now extra days. He would go to work on his own field. Why should he spend his koichos working on someone else's field for money he doesn't need? He put his koichos for his fields. That's already his, and he'll have it for always. And he would work his own field. B'tachlis ishtadluso, with all his b'charitzuso, and his alacrity, his zrizos. V'losor lasos kein, ad shenigmara avodas admoso kohogan. And he would keep doing this, and he would put kochos into his own field until he had a fine field. He couldn't, if he would have just gone to work in the field, he would have starved to death. Went to work for someone else, but whenever he had a spear, every night he made sure he had a kvius, he made sure to work his field. If he had a week off, he would work his field. He's building up capital for himself. He has to live, so he works for someone else, making his field good. But he's getting paid, and he has to live. Uvigia eis peroseha, uzman tvuasa, and when he pulled in a little crop from his little field there, so kibtzeim, v'osfam, he put it together. Vispinus mayhem b'shana hashenus. Now he had already enough money, let's say for a whole year, perhaps. For your ovid admosa kiritzono, and now he was his own boss, and he had his own land. V'holeich u'mosiv bo ilonos, and he had time to plant and branch out, and to plant other crops, and slowly, he built up his field. Atchehoiso tvuoso, until finally Tvuasa was enough, maspekes leparnasoso, it provided him with a full parnaso, and even had more than he needed, osirolo, mashehosibbo, adomo aladmoso. So this is the good brother. The do be good. Then you got, I remember in kindergarten, right, in Rampa room, it was, do be good and do be, don't be good, something, don't be, something like that. Ah, I have my chavrus in Rampa room. V'ho'och ha'tipesh, v'ho'och ha'ksil, the foolish brother, kiven she'yoda, he realized she'avodoso ba'admoso, that if he works his own field, if he, it won't give him parnasa, because it was a low quality field. Timne'eu mi'asasik binyam ezonosov, ozvo legamri. So he just left it. He didn't think about it anymore. He just let it get overgrown with weeds and garbage, and he used it for a garbage dump. He said, what am I going to waste my time in this field for? I'm not getting anything out of it. He also went to work for people because he had to earn a living. So what would he do with it? He didn't He didn't put aside time in the day to work his own field. He didn't put away money to buy waste fertilizer, to buy whatever his field would need. He would spend the money. He's having a time. He didn't save up money. What was he going to save money for? This is what he is. He's working. He's earning money. He would go party. If he had any extra money, if he had a week's vacation, instead of working his own field in that week's vacation, he would go for vacation. He would fly off to the, I don't know, Bahamas or the Camry Islands, buy a Super Bowl ticket, I don't know, whatever he did. And when he had extra money, so he would take a vacation. And he would go to Las Vegas. He had a good time. He played around. He wasted his time, basically. He's on vacation now. He doesn't have to go to work. You have to go to work. You're on vacation. What do you do on a vacation? You go on a picnic. You go to the movies. You go on. You go places. And he didn't think about taking care of his own adama. He has his own plot of land there, sitting for a lawn, and that's his. That's his. That's what he's gonna go home with at the end of the day. So as he left, lo yechoshe binyan admoso. When he had a vacation, he would go to the beach. So his own adama lay waste. Obviously, nothing's growing there. That's the lashon haposuk in Mishlei. The neras kedera, overgrown, the fence, nobody cared to fix the fence. It got flooded. Okay, nice story. Bahamaskil, an intelligent person, kasher ya ayin b'moshel hazeh. If right, what do you give a moshel for? You give a moshel because we don't want to hear the nimshel, but when we hear the moshel, then there's a link. Now maybe we'll appreciate the nimshel. Yizbone mimenu inyan achriso. He'll think about, right, the adoma. Your adoma is your neshama. Your adoma is your own personal adoma is your neshama that Hashem gave you. That's yours. That's yours. And what do you do with it? You know, that's yours. You're going to have it. Follow my book. You're going to have this forever and ever and ever. This is your plot of land. Now, you can't work the field. It's not going to give you parnasa. You can't live in this world just taking care of your neshama. It won't work. It doesn't work. It's not going to give you parnasa. So you have to go to work, meaning you have to work for other people, meaning you have to work for the goof. So you have to go to work and you have to earn money. But you don't leave your neshama alone and say, okay, forget about it. My neshama can't support me, so I'm going to forget about my neshama and I'm going to be involved in Gashmius. That's where it's at. No, you go to work, enough to live on, and whenever you have spare time, again, this is not, you know, I'm going to be talking. I apologize almost for it. You know, from the perspective of a man, this is very nogea. A man always has the pressure of learning Torah. Women don't. Women never have a vacation. So, Zolchovas Halvavas Marshall is not talking about women.
But we do have downtime, spare time.
Yeah. Use it to relax. Let me tell you. No, really, a man has a pressure of learning Torah. I know I'm talking from the perspective of a man, and if you would be feminist, I would be more nervous about learning this with you. From the perspective of a woman, there's no such thing as being on vacation. There's no such thing as working for parnasa. It's not supposed to be, and everything is ruchnius, and everything is building up the home and raising the children and taking care of the home. Like there is no downtime. If you could relax and run away, believe me, you deserve it. Go do it. So, I don't know, you know what should I say? He's talking from a male perspective, but it's good mussar anyway. Maybe you'll kick your husbands out of the house if you hear this marshal. It's a beautiful marshal. He says, so when you go to work and earn money, this is not You're not advocating kollel. You have to go to work. You go to work. You earn money. But what do you do in your spare time? That's what I'm always screaming at the man. What do you do when you come home at night? So the chacham came home at night and he worked his land for a half hour, for an hour, for as much time as he had. He worked his land. That's his. That's his kinyan. Someone else he works for because he had to earn money, because he had to live. But if you have a vacation, right, there's no, right, July 4th, President's Day, Yom HaTzmaut, you have a vacation. So the Ksil forgot about his land, and he's busy vacationing, and he had a vacation. Okay, obviously, I have to be careful, I don't want to get fired. Obviously, there are always cheshbonos. Maybe someone wants to take his family on a trip because he's been neglecting his family. You know, we're not talking about these issues that could come up. And maybe you should spend some time with your family. I don't really believe that, but maybe.
You really don't believe that?
That's a different discussion. Let me just say that spending time with your family is highly overrated. I believe in quality time. Quality time. 2-3 minutes.
What about renewing oneself by going away?
Okay, of course. Okay, that's not what the Chavis Lovitz is talking about. Obviously, if you have to go away to renew yourself, then you're involved in something good. That's the people that. Halavai, that would be the problem. That's not the problem. No one says that's the problem. No one has tainus on people that do that. I'm talking about the people that are always renewing themselves. Right? That's what he's talking about. The people that are, right? Why shouldn't the shul be full with men learning on Yom HaTzmaut when there's a day off or on a Friday? I know. They're all shopping for that. Did you know your husband say that they're shopping for you Friday? You don't even know that. They probably blame basketball somewhere. They tell me they're shopping for you. I mean, one day I got to get the man and the wife together in the same room. The shul's full of wonderful people, really. It's not talking about our shul. Not talking about our shul. Listen to the marshal. It's a very, very, very... It's a very, very good marshal. He says, you have spare time, and this is for women too. You have spare time, work on your neshama. Maybe you should work on your neshama a little and till your own land. That's what he's saying. If you have time, you have avoda, you have chesed, you have avodas Hashem. Don't be like the ksil that forgets about that part of life because they're rightfully caught up for 6 hours a day, 8 hours a day, 10 hours a day in working on someone else's field, right? Because they have to earn money. What can you do? But don't be like the ksil that then shuts that out of the picture and forgets about it and just gets so involved, which, come on, let's face it, most people do. Maybe not most people you know. You only know good people, but I know bad people. And most people do get involved, and then they forget about the tzad ruchni shebo, whether it's a man or a woman, and they get involved in this world, and they get involved in things that are gashmi in this world, and they forget. And meanwhile, the adama, the poor adama, is growing weeds and getting overgrown and getting forlorn and getting lost. And so it's a very good marshal. Yes, you have to go work, you have to be involved in this world, but what do you do on your vacation? What do you do when you come home every night? You have time. So again, everyone's life is different. It's a beautiful marshal. If we remembered the marshal, it would be worthwhile. Obviously, there will always be cases where, especially a woman, right, because a woman's life, a woman's ruchnius is much more, her, a woman's ruchnius, you know, I'm jealous of you, right? A woman's ruchnius is her everyday life, because she's involved in doing what Hashem told her to do. right? And a man really theoretically should, we've learned in Chayvus Halvavus and Shara Avodus Elokim and in Shara Habitachon, a man really could transform even the hours a day that he's working into Avodus Hashem by focusing on the fact that it's Hashem's will, and he's doing Hashem's will, and he has to do it because it's Hashem's will, and that's transformative. And you could end up making everything ruchni. Sure, that's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about that madrega. He's talking about the norm, the way things are, be'etzem, the nisyonos. And he's saying, even what he's saying here is that even though it doesn't have to be money, it doesn't have to be dafka learning a gemara, it could be life in general. The moshel is saying that certainly, that here's the problem. The moshel is saying here's the problem. There's a huge portion of every day that we have to devote to Olam Hazeh. Whether it's a man or a woman, it's all the same. We have to devote to Olam Hazeh a huge portion of our day. And this is what he's talking about, because he's coming from Shara HaBechina. Yes, you should learn math, and you should learn astronomy, and you should learn biology, and you should learn this, but be careful. Because if you get caught up in it, then you forget your whole purpose in doing it. And it becomes a purpose in itself. The means becomes an end. What was a means to experience Hashem, to be aware of Hashem, to love Hashem, what was a means, and in being a means, it's like a means to kadosh things, you can easily go wrong. He's warning you. You can go wrong. Forget about that it's a means to an end. You can make it an end unto itself and get caught up in the chachma of food and the chachma of anything, of the eye and the chachma of zoology and the chachma of astronomy and the chachma of biology. You can get caught up in it just purely as a chachma. Not talking for parnasa reasons, we're talking just to be educated. And once it becomes an end in itself, not a means to a ruchniyustika end, so then you've gone wrong. And that's his mashal, the two brothers. They're each devoting rove, the majority of the day in the mashal nimshal to gashmius. Because they have to, they have to, there's no choice. But one recognizes that it's a means to an end. So therefore, you don't have to do this consciously even, but if your head's screwed on straight, pardon the expression, and you know that it's only a means to an end, so I don't have to give mussar to anyone that when they have a day off, they should, once I have to make that speech, I've already lost the battle. That's what I see in the shul. I've lost the battle. Then maybe I could bring a person in if I put enough pressure on him and he's ashamed of me. And, you got to tell him this mashal. And either he realizes it himself or herself. And then when you have vacation and you have downtime, you know what to do with it. Nobody has to tell you. Right? If you're on a trip and the goal is to get where you're going, and you want to stop off at a rest stop, so you're going somewhere, so you're going to stop off at the rest stop, I'm thinking now of an American rest stop, you're going to buy your drinks, you're going to go out, you're going to walk around, and you're going to play maybe some pinball games, I don't know, video games, but you have to get to the Chasana in Chicago, a 17-hour drive, so you're not going to spend too much time here. So your head screwed on straight, you know that this is a means to an end. But if you get caught up in the video game at the bus stop, at the rest stop, and you forget about the chasna, you forget about the goal, you miss the whole chasna, you miss everything, because you were busy with a little narration video game, right? That's life, that's what he's saying. That's life. If you keep your eye on the eight ball, what we call, right? That comes from pool. And if you keep your eye on the eight ball and you know what your goal is, you'll make the right decisions. You don't have to sit here and live with, but what about if you need vacation time or downtime when you have to relax? You'll know what to do on your own. You won't need a rabbi to tell you, hopefully. If you need the rabbi to get your head screwed on straight, to learn Chavis Halvavos with you. But if once you do, and you have the mashal set in your mind, then you know yourself what to do. You know yourself, you come home every night, and you got to work your field. What's going to be with your field? You're working for someone else's field. You're earning money because you have to, but then you come home with your field. What's going to be? So slowly, fully. You know, the guy here, the Chavis Halvavos' story, he has patience. He knows, you know, he has a half hour a night. That's half hour a night. So he knows, that's what he has. Once in a while, he has a day. So he spends a day on his field. And he saves money. He doesn't spend it. He saves up his money because he's saving for the day that he could make the field into a parnosa producing thing, and then he'll have his field, and he won't be meshubah to anyone else, and he'll have, you know, for his own neshama. Let's already go to the nimshal. You know, you have spare time. You want to relax? Good, relax. But realize you're relaxing. You know, it's very easy to say I'm relaxing. But you have to realize I'm relaxing. But what's the goal? What's the goal in relaxing? I know plenty of people that spend their whole lives relaxing. So what are you relaxing for? Plenty of time to relax in the grave. No one has to tell you to relax in the grave. Right? Plenty of relaxation time there. So what are you relaxing for? I got people... They're always relaxing. For what? What are you relaxing for? So that's the marshal and that's the nimshal. And he says it because it's very powerful, because it's really, I never really, because Shar HaBachina is a very, it's dangerous. He says it himself is dangerous. That's what he's saying here. You can get caught up in it, just like you can get caught up in your work. You can get caught up in Gashmius. You can get caught up in Olam Hazeh. I mean, again, if a woman, you know, she has other issues. Let's say a woman is nice. A woman has to, you know, has to take care of the kids, and she has to look nice, and this and that, you know. But then she can get caught up in those things. She can get caught up, and then they spend the whole time making sure she's stylish and making sure she's get caught up in other things that are not so good. So you have to remember this marshal. It's a very, very powerful marshal. Okay. Listen what he says very, it gives you a short formula. Whatever you can, you do. And when you work in the world, when you work for the world you're in, Olam Hazeh, Yasalo Kamosha Osa B'shal Acherim, then he has to realize he's working for someone else. When you're doing something in Gashmius, you're earning money, or you're involved in Gashmius, realize that you're not working for yourself. You're working for someone else, for the couple of kopecks he's giving you, and it's necessary, and you do it, and that's how Hashem wanted it to be. And you're okay with that. Adirabba, you know, halavai, we should do it in the best possible way and make it into Ruchnius and transform it into Ruchnius, because we do it because we're doing the will of Hashem. That would be wonderful. But he's saying, when you're working for Olam Hazeh things, realize that you're working for someone else, and do minimize. Vakasil also b'shnei hadvarim b'hepach. But the foolish one, mamish, the other way around. When he's working for Olam Haba, he's mistapik b'muat. And you think, okay, it's enough. Well, I don't have to go overboard. I don't want to be a fanatic. And I don't want to go overboard. And it's enough. A little, you know, a little, I'll spend a little time on it. And I'll do it as quickly as possible. And I never have to do it. I got to pay my dues to the Lord. But I got to get back to Olam Hazeh. That's my real life. What's real? Really, this is really real. What's real? What's your real life? I mean, you're wonderful people. I'm not talking about you. But many religious Jews, as we say, many religious Jews, if they without verbalizing it and without even consciously thinking about it, they would consider their normal life to be life, like a non-Jew, a life, they're living. Then, you know, they got to pay their dues. They got to pay a toll. You got to pay a toll to get over the bridge, so I have to put on tefillin, and I have to do mitzvahs, and I have to daven. But that's not life. That's like... So the Chavis Halov says, you mamish have it the other way. You're mixed up. He says, you're mixed up. The real life is a life of ruchnius, of bonding with Hashem, of doing ruchniyustika things. That's the real life. And your pseudo life is doing the things you have to do, because Nebuchadnezzar and Olam Hazeh, so you have to do them. That's the pseudo life. So you do the pseudo life as little as you can, and you get back to the real life. Like when you're on vacation, right? People come, they go, they're on vacation, so that's not real life. Why do people come there? So they say, oh, we have to move here, it's so gishmak here. They don't even realize they're on vacation. Three quarters of the reason it's geschmack is because they have no responsibilities, they have no bills to pay. They, you know, it's geschmack. They spend the whole day in bagel, holy bagel. And they take their kids out to eat lunch, and they're having a good time, and then they say, well, I'm going to move here. And then all of a sudden they move there, and it becomes real life. And, right? It becomes real life. This, I mean, I'm in favor of living in Eretz Yisrael. So, okay, this is the Chavis Halvavos. We'll stop here, but I want to. I don't know. It's really there's really a male-female divide here, which I realize I'm not bridging, because a woman is learning this Chavis Halvavos and saying like, what my whole day is spent on. I'm told, I was taught, that everything I do is ruchni, because I'm raising my kids and I'm keeping up the house and that's my job and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, what am I doing that's kashmi? You know, so I buy a new dress once in a while. You're right. I mean, again, you don't know the man perspective, where there's a pressure of the mitzvahs, Talmud Torah, and every minute's supposed to be spent. If he's not working and earning money, he's supposed to be also kan avodas Hashem. It's true. There is like a gender gap here in the way I'm talking. I'm aware of that. I'm aware of that, and I apologize. I don't mean Adarabba, you know, maybe I should say Shavuos on a Yish. I don't know. You have it easier. Again, a man's work can also be raised to the level of Avodas Hashem if he says, I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem. But it's hard, and I deal with people the whole day. It's hard, and it's really a very high madrega. And for a woman, it's really much easier, because that's taka what she's doing, and it's much more natural. It's much more natural, and that's taka all she's supposed to be doing.
But a woman could go through her day and be halishing for like when the kids finally get to sleep, and I can like, I don't know, go shopping. You know what I mean? Like
you okay, but and the chanami.
It can happen.
Yeah, and I know those women, but they're all in Bar Upon. Hey, I have nothing against Bar Upon. That was lashon hara. See, that was not right. It was not right of me to say that. Okay, so again, I almost apologize, but okay, there may be a gender gap here, but...